Hello, my name is Pendar Khosravi, 35 years old. Today's date is Tuesday, June 21st, 2022. I am at the StoryCorps Atlanta, I guess you would call this offices or library, and I am here interviewing Pavan Khosravi, who is my brother.
I am Pavan Khosravi. I am 33 years old. Today is Tuesday, June 21st. I'm here at StoryCorps Atlanta as well. I'll be interviewing my brother, Pendar Khosravi.
So, I guess we'll begin. First things first, I want to thank you for being willing to experience this this opportunity with me.
Anything for you.
Anything. I'm excited to be able to do this, and it's a super interesting opportunity. And I think a lot of people have had some really cool stories here. And not to say that either of our stories will be as interesting as a lot of people, but I think that we have our own little special bond and special history, and I think this is a cool space to be able to get to know each other a little better, and I
For
don't know,
sure.
talk about some things.
I like
So I don't really know where we can go here, but I wanted to focus on us being brothers. I think that a lot of people have different relationships throughout their lives, and we've had an interesting one, and it's been up and down, and throughout our lives we've, tried to be there for each other, but then it's changed and we've moved around and we have first generation parents that are first generation of this country, so that's been a whole nother
For sure.
little thing in the story of our lives. But I just I want to talk about like whatever. I have a range of questions and I
Okay.
can ask you some of them just to start and we can kind of let the conversation go where it goes. But
Let's go
you cool
from
with
there.
that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Do you have anything specific or are you good?
I feel like we can kind of do what you said. Like we'll go from there and kind of start and then let it take us where it goes.
Okay. So I guess I wanted to start with what is your earliest memory of the both of us? I know that we've seen home videos and random
Yeah.
things that like jog memories, but like, do you remember anything else from like when we were kids?
I remember back from, I mean, when we came to the apartment in Alpharetta.
Champions Green?
Yeah. I remember good old Champions
The
Green. I remember back with
horse
like
racing
the horse
neighborhood.
Preakness Drive and Belmont and all those different. Yeah, and then I remember Michael our neighbor that stole our bikes one time,
Oh
and
yeah,
then
that Michael
Michael
Chan, I
Chang,
think.
Michael Chang,
Chang
something like
Chan.
that.
I
Yeah.
remember his name meant car in Korean. That's what I do
There it is.
remember.
Michael Chen. But yeah, like I remember playing video games with like some of our other neighbors and the Super Nintendo we got. And I mean, back to, I would say my earliest memory of there, or even just period, would be. Wow, I mean,
Do you remember anything before there? I know we've heard the stories of like where we
yeah,
parents moved
like,
to San Francisco. We grew up in San Francisco. I barely remember. I don't remember anything in San Francisco,
no.
but
I mean, I think maybe even some of my earliest memories might be just from going to Iran, like little bits of those. Like, how about you?
I mean, yeah, those are probably my earliest as well, like that are really vivid. I know when you're a kid, having like actually you have flashes, and so you think that you remember them, and sometimes you build stories in your brain. So you're like,
Exactly.
oh, is this actually what happened? Or did I like paint a picture that is not real? But, and some of it's from the videos, but I remember Champions Green well. And I remember a lot of like the family and stuff we used to see that were nearby, Khala Fairma, who used to live in the same neighborhood.
It's funny how many different groups of like family friends we've gone through seeing, like the groups that our parents have hung out with over time.
I think that's a weird thing about Persians, though. They have a lot of very close friend group. They're very close-knit groups of friends, and
Yeah.
they kind of stick to their people wherever they bounce around, and they find their own little crew. And I mean, but always, they've always been so nice. Like, do you remember Farigul and Nogol?
I love them.
Did you ever see Nogol when you were living in
Yeah, in Denver. Yeah, yeah. I saw them a little bit one time. I think it might have been the time that we went and saw them.
But it's weird how our early memories, like, can differ for different people. Like, what do you remember about Champions Green the most?
I think honestly, it's like the times when we were just out playing with like friends and stuff, being out
sports and
yeah. Like I remember going up to the little tennis courts up there and like the little pool area. I remember random, like especially the backyard area
behind the
yeah, that was down by like that. Yeah,
you used to play football down there.
Yeah.
I guess we're only, it's weird. I always think of you as like my little brother, and but you're a year apart, so like your memories are pretty close.
Yeah, like, we're basically like we live through the same stuff.
Yeah.
But in different, kind of different perspective.
I have another question that will like segue into.
Yeah.
Who has been the biggest influence on your life? And why? And what did you learn from them?
My biggest influence. I don't know. I mean, honestly, I have taken influence from different people and of different, like,
it's a hard one. So
it is. I mean, you definitely are one of the people that I've looked up to for a long time. Like, because I had, like, a way that I wanted my life to go with, like, I mean, especially the way that our parents kind of expected things. And it's like, okay, you know, it was school and, you know, you get a girlfriend, you go like, and then, and you know, over time or like for a while, I thought that you were like living the perfect life that everybody, like that our parents wanted us to live.
And,
like,
perfect, yeah.
And over time I like, I learned that, yeah, no, we're all the same. We all have shit going on. We all have the same.
He's got it figured out.
Yeah.
No.
And so I had different, like, I'm still at a point where I just don't even know what the hell life is or what
you want to do.
Yeah, but I'm kind of.
We've had that conversation before, and that's okay.
Like, yeah,
not knowing where your life is going isn't a bad thing. But keep going with that. Why do you think that I was a big influence in your life? Like.
I always
just being a bigger brother, or did you like look up?
It
to
was always
I was
like
doing,
I think that it was,
because
it was like
mom and dad.
I felt that you were doing the things that I wished I was doing.
You wished, or you that you were supposed to?
That I thought I was supposed to.
Okay.
And that I kind of wished I would be doing, like the, you know, graduating school quickly, and then you went to straight to. I mean, you moved to all the cities that I wanted to live in. You had that girlfriend during that time too, and I thought like, okay, he's gonna get married, he's gonna have kids, it's going straight, like it's just, I thought, okay, you're set to go, and you've got a whole yeah. And that was kind of what was probably, like, I saw myself not really doing those things, and it was kind of like I just always felt like that was like, you just had it down, you knew what the hell was going on, you knew how to do it, and that's all it was. And that's kind of like part of how I've felt growing up too, is like I see everyone around me. Like, I always thought that everybody knew what the hell they were doing, and I had no clue. And that kind of set me back a little bit. And over time, I've learned that, you know, no one really knows what the hell they're doing. Everybody's just doing it.
Just trying to figure out life, right?
Basically. Yep.
Do you think you've had anything hold you back? So, like, I think the thing that sort of made it easier for me was it wasn't like that I never had a plan. Like, there were things that I wanted to do. I knew myself decently well, but it was sort of, it was taking those opportunities and, like, actually doing them. So I had this is a different place, but I had a job opportunity at Coke right now. So I work Coca-Cola, you know that.
Yeah.
That came up recently, and I was debating, like, should I do this? And I had, like, a conversation with one of my managers, and she was like, did you analyze if this is the perfect thing for your career? And do you think you should do, like, just think of this through? Like, I don't think that maybe you should do this. Like, maybe it's not the right path for you. Maybe you shouldn't jump at the first opportunity that comes along. And I think that that has merit. But I stopped and thought about it. And a lot of the decisions I've made throughout my life haven't been like, oh, man, let me sit down and have paralysis analysis and, like, go over it super, super in depth. Well, I think you should think it through. It's sometimes the people that don't just do the things, just do it.
Like, yeah, I think when you made that decision, you have the overthinking
gene
powers that I have.
You think there's a way to get around that?
I think, yeah, over time. I mean, it's a kind of a process of, like, rethinking that learning. And I mean, one of the things I saw about myself is that I grew up kind of not wanting anything. And that over time has made me like, that's kind of part of where I am like now, where I'm like, I've never like, it was always, you know, like growing up, like one of the big things is every time we would go out with our parents, or like they would be like, all right, let's go this for the weekend. We're going to go here, and kids come with us. And a lot of times you would be like, no, I'm going to do my own thing. And I would just be like, okay, I guess I'm going with them. And they would always laud it. They would always be like, oh, you're so go with the flow. You're so like, you just, you know, you'll come do whatever. And I thought, okay, I'm doing what's right. It's, I, you know, it's, they're just telling me where to go and I'll go there. And so I found myself never wanting anything for myself because it was just put in front of me. And that's just, and so like, as I got older and as I became an adult, I'm up to my own devices and I'm just sitting here like, what do I do?
It's
up to me. And I've never wanted anything. So I'm like, well, everybody's just like, do what you want to do, figure out what you want. And I'm like, well, I don't.
You haven't built the mind habits or the like the ability to think through like, oh, okay, this will be okay. I should just go do this thing. Or
exactly.
Go this way. It's, you have to get past those hesitations now.
And I became more of like, I want to give to the world. Like where can I find, you know, ways I can just put myself into things and like, and everybody's just like, no, well, what do you want? What do you want from other people to do for you? And I'm like, I've never had, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I've asked you that before. Like, hey. Like, I think I know myself fairly well, which has been, I think, again, the thing that made it easier. Like, it wasn't making the right decisions. That's sometimes luck. But at least, like, knowing the compass, like, okay, if I'm going west or northeast, that's fine, but I know that I want to go north.
Right.
At least I have a semi-direction, and I know the semi sort of things that I like, so it can, I can put myself in those areas for opportunity. What do you think your, like, I had one of these questions on here about that. This is a good segue into, where is your happy place? So like, forget everything else. It doesn't have to be like a job. Doesn't have to be a like. Where do you see yourself being the, like just when you think of something that enriches like, your soul, that makes you like, oh man, this is what I enjoy. Like, and I know sometimes you've said that you don't know that, but can you answer that question?
Yeah. I know. I mean, I've always wanted a family. I've always wanted, you know, to just
that's
be.
Not answering,
it's more.
That's
well,
not,
not so much.
Question.
It's more like it's a certain sense of comfortability, but at the same time, a sense of like belonging and to be wanted. I think.
So when you've been wanted, that's your. You think so? Again, when I say a happy place, like, what is the thing that makes you, like, your soul light? Like, there are things that we do in our lives, whether it be you come across you go to the Zion National Park and you all of a sudden see that.
Oh, and you're
my
just
gosh.
Like, yeah.
Or it's a feeling you get from something, or it's some people love, like they just are obsessed with that. Like, is there what is it that makes you? I don't know.
I think I feel at most in my element. When I'm making people laugh and when I'm like, and when things are, cause I've always been that person that's just trying to keep things light. Like even in like in my job, it's been a problem at times and a good thing at times. And that's like, I just don't take life seriously. And I hate people that take things very seriously. And I'm always trying to be like, just even if I see things starting to go like into a like, heavy, like even like we have like meetings at work and shit, I'll just make crack jokes just to keep things, just to keep people like, hey, let's remember why we're here. It's okay. But that's, yeah, that's part of like why I don't want to even like think about like jobs and shit. I don't want something that's like constant, just like
serious.
Yeah. I can't. And that's where I'm, I think.
So comedy makes you, well, I mean, naturally makes a lot of people very happy, but that makes you sort of tick?
I think so. And that's where I find myself, like, most myself. Like, when I'm in the zone and I'm, like, it's, like, certain times where I'll get, like, and I'm just, like, it's constant off the cuff and just, like, yeah.
Do you see yourself smiling more during those times?
For sure.
Like, yeah.
And I feel like I'm myself.
Yeah. That's good. Why is it all, man, all comedians have, like a weird background. Lindsay loves comedy. She's got the same, like, they all have some kind of, it's not trauma, but it's like, there's something back there. It's like all comedians have something.
They use it as a crutch.
Or they use it as.
not necessary
material
yeah,
was, for their
exactly
like a, it somehow brings out that yeah funnier. I don't know what it is.
There was one comedian whose special I watched, and he was talking about how like his depression and whatnot and all this stuff, and like how big of a like just doing comedy, how much of a like a help it was, or like it was like his like release or whatever. And I forget what it was. He was talking about like how he'd gone to therapy about it, and like once he actually got like help for it, then his comedy became so much better. I don't know where I was going with that.
His comedy became better, or
yeah.
You should try. So a couple of my friends, in Chicago. Well, they did some, not stand up, but it was
in improv.
Yeah, they did some improv, but then they each just like put themselves out there, wrote like a 10-15 minute comedy set, and did a like a little stand up routine at an amateur night,
yeah,
or like an open mic night. You should do that.
I've had many multiple people tell me.
Like it takes work.
Oh,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
Like they're like, I will get you on a stage right now if you can write me 5 minutes. And they're like, and I've always wanted, and it's just like, I think I've always like held myself back from it because I can't. I'm more of that improv type than writing, but it's just that's just me holding myself back from it.
Have you ever been to the Basement in Atlanta?
Yes,
they have. The Graveyard? I think if you go to the late night, we need to do that sometime soon. They'll do an improv set where they'll pull people in from the audience. We should go do that.
This kid that
point.
I worked with, his dad is the owner of Laughing Skull.
Laughing Skull?
Yeah.
You should do more. You should put yourself more in those places if you do really like that. Like,
for sure.
Okay, perfect. We've got the light bulb. Perfect. But yeah, very interesting.
Let's ask you some questions here.
Yeah, I'm the one that I do the question asking here, okay? No, you go ahead.
Go on. I mean, well, same kind of questions, I guess, for you with...
Don't look at my list. I see you looking over here.
I left mine at home on accident. Every time. But so, I guess, yeah, with us, like, how has your... With me as your brother, how has that... You know, kind of how has your time with that been over time?
How's my
time? I know
time?
I haven't made it easy. I haven't made it
hard.
There's been times, yeah.
It's been a weird... So, siblings are always weird. You look at a lot of people's families and you see single children who end up growing up being like, oh, getting everything they want. And I mean, of course, there's varying levels of degree. But so you have those, and then you have people with huge families. They're always like, oh, man, how cool would that be? You know me, I like craziness. More people around, there's crazy stuff going on. Dinners are big, loud. That always seemed really cool. I mean, we at least, there's two of us.
We had a little bit of that going. I think if we had more of that Iran atmosphere, like where we had the whole family around us growing up, it would have been huge. But we had enough of that, like with the
family. No, this is a completely different tangent.
Yeah, exactly.
We can get back into later. But no, I think that hurts me sometimes. And that's why I love Europe.
Yeah.
I think that the independence and the very... lack of community sometimes in areas of, I shouldn't even say it's not the U.S. because the U.S. is so big, but it's sort of inherent in the culture. The very independence of people and the lack of community sometimes and the lack of, it's in the infrastructure. It's the way houses are built. It's the way we commute. Like we want our big car. We want our own car. We want our own house. We want our plot of land. And then if we want to have choices. If we want to see people, we go see them. Where it's very difficult, and I've seen a lot of other countries, and specifically developing countries, your lifeline is your village.
It's community, yeah.
And I inherently think that is so much better for humans.
Absolutely.
Like, oh, I think that...
Americans are, we're all single, like, keep your distance.
But it really does benefit in specific ways, I think.
Yeah.
You're innovative and people find ways to do things that other people don't, where they sometimes have a crutch on their communities to help.
True.
People have to, like, are very ingenuitive. And is that the word? Is that a word? But I think the lack of, we've always had it. When we were young, having the family, friends, and mom and dad were always good. They found their people.
Right.
So there was always that around. But I think me and you going back to the brother relationship was always one being so close. I think it was a fight.
I ate your food. So when we were young,
I mean, so it's funny. I have a story, man. My thing I remember most, and it's funny how these the little things. I still to this day, whenever I think of us as kids, you taking that magic marker in my 49ers mat in front of my door.
Yep.
The welcome mat, 49ers welcome mat, and you drawing all over that, and then also tearing down my Atlanta Braves World Series newspaper poster.
Did I do that?
Yeah. Oops. Did I do that?
I remember breaking an ant farm.
Oh, really? I had an ant farm? I yeah. that. Really?
I was like, fuck your ant farm.
But you always think about that, I guess, as kids. Like, it's not easy, and you're trying to fight for attention, and I know that you were doing that, and you're trying to figure out life, and then you all of a sudden go off to college as soon as you're like, oh, things are sort of settling a little bit in your adolescence. And then it took time, and I think, like, our relationship got so much better after, like, I don't know if it was, like, a period of, like, you needing to figure yourself out some and me, like, for just sure. going off and doing whatever for a while.
Yeah.
And I think going through, not trauma, but just, like, difficult times, you having breakups, me having breakups, and then, like, knowing that your family or your sibling is there for you really helped us out a lot.
And I'm going through more things where I'm going through similar things than you. Like, exactly, like you're saying, like, within the breakups, like, more things where I feel like we are like going through similar
I'm not
life.
Perfect.
Exactly. Basically. Yep. Yeah.
I think people do that a lot. They compare themselves to others.
Yeah.
I do that a lot.
Yeah, that's a growing up. I mean, that was a huge thing with me. I was always just like, well, I'm not doing, you know, I could be like, it's like, especially with like my age, I'm like, oh, well, there's so many people my age doing so much more and doing so much better. And I should be over here. I should be doing this. And rather than, you know, think for the future, okay, well, what I can do, it's just dwelling on what I should have done.
Yeah. I mean, that's inherently like, in everybody,
people,
though.
Yeah.
The humans do that. It's always a comparison. We compare ourselves to, like, so many things.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's a soft spot. Like, it seems like everybody, like, or at least me, that mm-hmm. I have it together, but there's so many insecurities and inadequacies and looking
at for sure.
the rest of the world and thinking that you're, like,
yeah, and there's always someone doing way
better
level, than
every
you.
Every level you go up, there's a whole bunch of people that are better than you, and it's always having to put yourself back into that mindset. They're like, look, it's what you can do every day, and
yeah,
just trying to, like, okay, if I come wake up and make myself whatever 1% better, not just in, you know, knowledge or in, you know, physical appearance or health or amount of money you make. It's just focusing on the little things, I think. I've told you that.
This
before.
Is part of a random, little kind of random tangent off of that, but what is your driving force, I guess, in that case? Just like, I mean, we all live, we all die. What motivates you?
In general?
I guess.
Like,
I mean, just
me
like, well,
what?
I mean, you just, what is your goal? Like, what do you want from life?
I'm a hedonist. I think at the end of the day, I think so. There's two ways of looking at it. I think inherently humans strive for pleasure.
True.
Fortunately, I think it's built into our DNA that, like, oh, if this thing, like, we build cycles of habits that, like, oh, if I do this thing and it feels good, I should go back and continue to do that. And there's receptors that are built to help us survive, and, you know, we keep doing those things.
Right.
So I think inherently, but that's not always good. Like, the things that always make you feel good aren't the best.
Right.
So I think having dad always said this, like, he always was like, oh, you know, his weird little things he'll say.
Yep.
Balance. Everything in life is balance.
And yeah.
but I took that to heart. Like, it's so true. Like, everything you do, whether it be you eat too much junk food, you eat too little junk food, like, if a little bit of this is not a bad thing, a lot of something is good. And I mean, but literally, if you look at it throughout humanity, like in the way that the world was built, it's in like everything.
Yeah. Literally.
The entire world is a symbiosis of 100%. Of the environments and how we interact with our environment, how our cells and atoms interact with each other, and it's always like, stay balanced, equilibrium.
Yeah.
And
equal opposite reaction.
I think what drives me is like trying to always reach that balance in a lot of things. Like, I want money, but I don't want too much of it.
Right.
Because I know that that's not good for you. But there's a level that you need to get to like make sure your life is okay. I sometimes want to learn everything. But yeah. I know that just focusing completely on one thing and like curiosity is wonderful. But if you do it too much, you're not focusing on all the other things that need to take your time. So it's this never ending like
It's a collage of
convoluted life. So I think it's the thing that drives me is like, one, be a good person. So making other people, what is it? They always say that it's not what you did for people. It's how you made them feel.
Yeah.
So like what they'll remember you by, it's not like what you did for them or what the last thing is you did. It's like how you made them feel. I don't remember who said that. Teddy Roosevelt. Something.
That's huge in service.
So I think like I don't always do it, but that's in the back of my head is like making people feel good, whether it's through comedy or through being nice to people or through having experiences with them or helping people step out of their shell. I don't know. I know that I'm...
It's not what you said, it's how you said it.
I think the how you say it's more important than the what.
Yeah, I'm the opposite.
But you're very similar to Lindsay.
Yeah.
Both of you are like, did you not hear the words that you used? And I'm like, honestly, no, I didn't.
Yeah.
Does that matter? I'm just what I'm trying to get across. That's all that matters.
Well, you're saying that's the opposite.
No.
Because you're saying it's how you say it.
Yeah, but that's the tone, the way that you say something. The how isn't the words.
Well, yeah.
What are you saying?
That's something. Okay. No, yeah, it's what you're saying.
Yeah. So okay. It's I don't know. All right, what else? What we got on this list? Let's keep going. This was an interesting one. And I don't know if you have this. I mean, it's going to be a tough one to think through, but
mm-hmm.
Is there anything that you've never told me but want to tell me now on this microphone that will be stored at the Library of Congress? Make sure that it's not something that we have to tell them, hey, we cannot sign your release at the end of this.
This feels like as good a time as ever.
Like when she was telling us that earlier, I was like, if you've murdered somebody, this is the worst time to bring that up. They will record it.
There goes my story.
You secretly steal money from me at any point?
I guess it's honestly... So this is something that I've had.
Oh, yeah, buried deep.
I never finished my, what do you call it, my school, like my...
Undergrad.
Undergrad, and you know that. And that's, I have a problem with going through things and just not finishing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even my, what do you call it, I didn't finish all the way. The boot camp.
What?
So I went through till the very, the last project, I pretty much was all the way through it, but, like, it messed up and I couldn't get it working at the end, and, like, I felt like it wasn't good at all. It was completely messed up, and then, like, I just kind of, I missed the last day, and I still, like, I don't know, I think I'm still, like, okay with, like, they sent me the... Like, you're done and you did everything, but at the same time, I don't feel like I finished it.
Yeah. So I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
I don't know. It's... Yeah.
Was it fear? Like, what is it?
The whole time I didn't feel like I knew what the fuck I was doing at all. And I was like, how are we done with this? And I just, like, I can't even start this last project. I don't even know what the fuck to do.
Yeah, where to go.
And I don't look for help the way I should. And it's just, like... But it's... Yeah, and that's been, I think, a part of my whole probably a lot of things.
Were you embarrassed by that?
A little bit. Yeah, and even like that's why I put on my resume forever that I had even associates.
Mm, oh yeah.
And like, well, it's all that. Yeah, and it's just like I lied to myself about those things, and I think that's part of something that I keep inside a lot. Yeah.
Does that eat
it's,
you?
I think so. It's part of like how I constantly go down on or get down on myself because I'm like, oh yeah, no matter what I'm doing, like I'm still over here. Like I tell these people, oh, I have all this stuff. Like I'm moving forward. And it's inside. I still have these things that everybody thinks that I actually never end up doing. And I never, and everybody's
basically,
like,
you're not good enough. Like you can't finish things. You can't actually accomplish kind anything.
Kind of. Yeah.
Do you actually feel that? Or
I don't know if it's like I'm scared to, like, if it's, I don't know what's like.
It's fear of failure.
I leave the, yeah. Because I have a perfectionist. Like, if it's not exactly right, I feel like, oh, like half-assed it, even if I'd have finished it and it's not the way that I wanted it to be, I half-assed it.
Really? What's the quote? Good is the, I'm sorry, perfect is the
perfection
enemy
is the
good.
Enemy of, yeah. Or is it the enemy of, like,
great
for forward or like forward progress
something like that. Yeah. Old Chinese proverb,
you know, man Sith on pod. yeah, I mean, that's the one thing I always like kind of held in. I mean, that was part of like why Bella was mad at me, because she always thought that I lied to her about that.
Oh, really?
About the
school
thing, yeah.
She thought she knew.
Well, because I always told her, too. Like, I was like, yeah, I have that. It's on my, you know. Oh. And she was like, I was the one person you could have just told the truth to, and I just never did.
That's, I mean, again, what is it called? It's, there's that thing, I forget the actual term, where you constantly think that you're not good enough. I forget what it is, like when you're in, forgetting the word, but let's say you're like, let's say I'm in my job and I think that I don't deserve to have this job. I'm not
right.
Good
it's
enough
imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's absolutely like part of it. Like thinking like, hey, you know what? I'm not good enough. I can't finish this. I couldn't do this. Even though you didn't finish it, you're still like, man, you still went through you paid for it.
Yeah,
you still
exactly.
went through it. You still
went through
a 12
thing
month
and like,
course.
Yeah. 3 months.
3 month course.
Yeah.
12 week.
There you go. Yeah.
Do you have a problem with looking at a glass half full? Like, do you
a glass half empty?
No. That's what I'm saying. Like, you're looking at a glass half empty. Do you have a problem with looking at it half full? Like,
yeah.
Being an optimist.
Yeah.
You do have a problem.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very nihilistic as it is. So that's my whole, like, I think when it comes down to it with anything, I'm just like, what the fuck? What does it matter anyway? Like, literally nothing in the world matters, period. So,
yeah, you said that before. Why do you think that?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's just everything ends at some point. Everyone I have, like, I've had friends leave. I don't know. Nothing has ever been, like, nothing's ever stayed.
Yeah.
So, it just feels like nothing is. I mean, but then at the same time, I've never lost anything, so I don't know about like
you
the
lose
like
your wallet
time.
Pretty consistently,
huh? Yeah, those kind of things. Absolutely. I should say I never lost anyone.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know any like I don't have a concept of like, oh well, you know, time is fleeting, and if you don't do it now, it's, you know, I feel like time. I have all the time in the world to do everything.
Isn't that weird backwards right now?
Kind of.
Saying?
You know, I don't. I like it's a little bit of
not
everything.
That everything
that I'm saying. Like, yeah.
But at the same time,
nothing matters. But I have all the time in the world to do everything. Yeah.
You're not getting any younger.
Screw.
I looked down for a second. And I was like, oh, you're 33. And I was like, no, you're 34.
Not in
yet.
A month?
Not yet. Not yet. You have. I mean, you have a lot of time left. I mean,
of course.
But it's taking. It's just, man. Sometimes I want to just pick you to the edge of a diving board and just push you and say, look, don't be scared to do this or that. At least like right now, this period of your life, you're making at least.
Yeah.
It's weird how you push the rock down the hill and it gains momentum. Like once you start making a little decision here, little decision there, It's hesitation. What is it? Always the little proverbs. Path of 1,000 steps starts with the first.
Oh, yeah. Like
that. You just have to take the first, you know. Take the first.
It's just one step at a time with everything I get. Yeah. I look forward. I'm always looking like, oh, there's a billion steps ahead, so I don't want to start right now.
That's how you eat an elephant. You want to eat an elephant?
Is there a restaurant for that?
We only have a couple minutes left here.
Yeah.
I have some other random ones.
Is there any story that you have for me
that
I may not know of? Or anything that you want to tell me that I may not know.
Your story or my
story? No, you just tell me.
Do I have any stories that I haven't told you? I mean, you can see I'm a fairly open book.
Right.
I don't think there's anything. I'm sure there's something in there.
If you feel like you're a woman, now is the time to tell me.
I don't think so. I think you know most everything about me. Not everything, but like,
yeah.
If there's anything that I want to tell you, I don't know. I think that is something. If you said early on, like that you'd realize, oh, we're all very similar. I have a lot of insecurities. I hide them very well. And I think I have a decent way of coping with them. Not in bad. Some people cope with them in bad ways. I think I find
different
ways to like push them aside. I don't know if it's Lindsay always tells me this. It's like a overconfidence is sometimes better than underconfidence. Because if you're
for
overconfident, sure. It's okay sometimes. Like sometimes you look like an idiot because why are you so confident in yourself? But it's like fake. But it's okay.
I think that's why I've always had a problem with overconfidence because I always look at those people like they're fake as fuck. Like, I just don't know how
you look
can
at
sit
me
here.
Like that?
No, because, and I think that's why, like, I always thought that you were very confident and you could back it up. And I was always like, well, I'm not going to be that person unless I can back it up. I hate saying shit. I hate people who are just like, like, there's so many people who I'll talk to who are like, this is how this is. And then they're like, if it's not, they're like, oh, that's why. I'm like, I wouldn't be that person who's, this is how it is unless I know that.
I felt like sometimes I feel like a bullshitter.
Like, yeah.
Oh, let me just talk my way. Fake it till you make it. Talk your way through it, and if eventually, like.
But that's the world.
I mean, it is, but like, it's.
I mean, that's part of how I feel like it's like the world. I feel like is just getting more and more towards this fake it till you make it. Like, everybody's just bullshitting, but nothing matters.
Yeah.
And it's. Like nobody really
we don't got time to get into that.
Yeah, all just the integrity of the world and all that.
We need two scotches before we get down to that.
Yeah.
Let me think. Okay. Let's just since we're wrapping this up.
Yeah.
I want to bring in mom and dad into this. What is your because we're I think we're very short on time. What is your relationship with mom and dad, and do you wish you could change it? I am interested in knowing this.
I think relationship has changed over time, and it's gotten better, definitely. I grew up thinking of them as, like, they knew everything. They were part of, like, they are the, and I'll be all, they know what they're telling me there when they say things, and that's part of why I always, like, you know, over time, I had to learn that they're people, that they're just the same. Like, they're.
I didn't know
making...
you looked up to them that much. I mean, I even looked up, but just like.
Well, I mean, I even like.
Put them on a pedestal almost.
I wouldn't quite say, like, I just always. They just. I never second guessed what they said. Yeah. I always was like, well, they're my parents. They know the best. They know what's best for me. And over time, that's, like, you know, part of why I had a little bit of a resentment towards them for a while. And now, like, I mean, not even now, like, over time, I've definitely, like, I'm learning, you know, they're just trying, they're trying their best, and they did an absolute great job. I mean, for compared to, like, raising a kid right now, I'm looking at, like, they did an absolutely great job. And it's hard as fuck, and we didn't make it easy for them. And, I mean,
that's weird how you look at that when you get older. Like,
yeah.
I, every year I've gotten older, I, like, have more appreciation for everything mom
for
and
sure.
dad did.
Yeah, like, I mean, mom's the hardest working woman. Like, dad, I don't know. I have a weird relationship with dad. And I think more and more I'm getting to understand, like, how he is. And
that's where I want to bring dad here. I think his stories
absolutely.
Would be super interesting. He's got some
I think I've found myself. I'm very much like him.
Hmm.
Like, I kind of, like, without trying to be, became like him. Like his dad's very funny. Dad's, like, he's, like, I mean, dad was in service. And I think I grew up, like, okay, well, I can do that. Like, if that's, if he can do it, and we seem to be living a pretty good life, why can't I do it like that? And also with everything he, everything that he taught us, he never taught us why. I think he always would say, do it like this, do it like this, do it, read, go read a book. And I always would be like, why?
Education.
Yeah. And it's just like, he never really under, like, that's what I always wanted. I was like, explain it to me. Just like, what's the, why? Yeah.
There's wisdom in there. I mean, he's...
Oh, exactly.
He's a funny man. And I mean, it's crazy how everybody loves him. Everybody. And but there is wisdom in there. It's just sometimes hard to...
And I think that's, well, funny, like, that's what I kind of base myself off of, because I always wanted to be, like, someone that people could like more than someone who's doing great at their job or so. I just wanted to be someone that people could like. I wanted to have a good personality. I don't care about knowing how to fucking be an engineer or knowing how to... Well, I just want to be someone that people can like. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was for a long time. And I don't know.
So this is the, this is, we're going to end it with this because I think we're close on time. Everything in life is balance. Everything. So if you want to be somebody that people can like, that's great. But you also have to, you have
do
to
do things that people don't like.
Yeah. Well, you have to know stuff too and
yeah,
be able to be like, you know, have the wisdom to know what you're, you know, what's good, what's right and wrong. And you can't, sometimes making those moral decisions, it's easy because you just feel it, but like knowing the other side of it too is balance. It's all balance, man.
No more prisoners.
No, yeah, that's the final thing. No more prisoners. But oh, I guess we should finish this off. This was one, a cool thing that I really wanted to do. So I want to say thank you for... One, being my brother. Two, being open. So you're always so open to, like, try new things.
Yeah.
But trying this with me, and I think that these conversations we've had, like, get deeper and deeper as we've gotten older, and I hope they keep getting better.
For sure.
And just know that I'm always there for you, and I appreciate you being so open and willing to come do this with me.
Thank you for coming and inviting me to this, and...
The first seven people said that they couldn't come, so it dropped down to you. So
I'm sorry that I
agreed
to
come. You beat 8, 9, 10. So. But thank you.
You for sure. Next time.